And God has a great plan for each one of us as he takes us through this year until he comes. We look forward to that. Are you happy today? That's great. We have every reason to be happy. The weather is great. All kinds of wonderful things are happening. I want to tell you, I wasn't happy this morning. And I want to tell you why. You see, I usually am pretty smart. I never open my email on Sunday morning. So I've gotten to know emails and what it can do to you. I get sometimes 50 to 100 emails a day. And on a Sunday morning, I know not to open it because when I open it, out of those wonderful emails that people send to me, there can be one or two. And I got two this morning. It just made me unhappy. But we're going through the book of joy. Happiness and joy have nothing to do with each other. Happiness is those emails I get. Joy comes from the Almighty God. See, so I don't know what you guys, maybe you guys got some emails too. Maybe something happened on the road. Maybe something happened that is really rough. You know, something from your family somewhere, you know, in California, New York, like my family's from, wherever they may come. You say, just rough this morning. But it doesn't change your joy. Because your joy has nothing to do with your happiness. It does not have anything to do with your circumstance. So I want to stand here today. I want to tell you, I'm joyful as can be today. And it wasn't terrible. It was just something that annoying. Happiness has nothing to do with that. And as we go through this book, this epistle of joy, the Philippians, I hope you can get that. Get it more and more, you know? We already ran through Galatians. We know joy, chara, comes from God. And when you have it, you can't lose it. And if God works in it, nothing can stop it. So I want to encourage you with words. And as we go into the scriptures, I'm not prone to usually just speaking from one or two or three verses. Usually I use a paragraph or a passage. But I want to tell you, the Apostle Paul has so much to tell us in the book of Philippians. He's packed in so much emotions, you know, from his heart. There's so many wonderful truths that God has given to us that we need to take a little bit of time. And so today, I just want to speak from these three verses. And as we go there, I entitled it, Always Half Full. You know, there are people in this world that are always looking at things, what's bad about it? You know, it could be 99% great, and that 1%, you know, that ruins their day. I think we should be people that are always looking at what God is doing. How wonderful things are. If a glass is half empty, it is not half empty, it is half full. And if you have that kind of attitude, your discovery of God's joy will be much simpler. And it'll be much fuller. I want to speak to you a little bit about Paul as we go into this. Give you a little background so you can understand a little bit. Because this passage, these three verses, he's talking about some things that you and I may never experience. He's talking about his circumstances. He's talking about, you know, the things and the brothers and sisters he talks about in the verse 12. They know what's happening. This is Paul. If you follow the book of Acts, you will find that Paul was traveling all over the place. One of the places that he wanted to go to was Rome. He didn't think he's going to go to Rome that way, but he wanted to go to Rome after his missionary journeys. You remember the first time he left Asia and went into Europe was when the vision he had of the Macedonian. Come and minister to us. So he went, and that's where we found him in the city of Philippi, which is part of the Aegean area, the Greek area. But later on, he went back, and you remember that if you know the scriptures a little bit in the book of Acts, you find that there was a plot against him, and when he went back to Jerusalem, he was taken, and he was arrested, trumped up charges and so forth, and he was in prison. This is the first time that the Apostle Paul was in prison for a long time. Now, here's a man that's full of joy, but that guy, I mean, he spent a lot of time in prison. If you don't think you can have joy in prison, then Paul couldn't possibly have joy. But he was joyful. They threw him in prison in Caesarea for about 2 years. 2 years, they tried to kill him. They tried to do all kinds of things. They tried to prove that he was a criminal, but they couldn't, and God protected him. Finally, after 2 years of prison in Caesarea, Paul said, I appeal to Rome because I'm a Roman citizen. So he's like, I'm tired of this place. I'm ready to go to Rome. So they had to send him to Rome. You remember the journey to Rome was pretty treacherous, including a shipwreck and all that, right? Finally, he gets to Rome, and since he got there, well, what are they going to do with Paul? There was no charge. There was not a single charge against him that would make him a criminal. So the leaders there, and perhaps including Caesar Nero at the time, they decide, okay, we can't let him go. We don't know what to do with him. Let's keep him in prison, but not that kind of prison. So they let him rent out a house or a place somewhere in Rome where he was under house arrest. And for 2 more years, the Apostle Paul was there. Okay? And this is how it happened. He was there. He had no freedom whatsoever, but he was allowed to have guests. He was allowed to pray. He was allowed to write. He was allowed to read. He was allowed to do all those things. And you would think, that's horrible. Who wants to be that? Nobody wants to be under house arrest, even though it's not in a dungeon. It's still horrible, right? To be in prison, in a sense, a very real sense. But this is what Paul writes. So that's why I want to take you to three thoughts as we look at our lives always half full. First of all, he was joyful in spite of his difficult circumstance. He said, well, it's not as bad as I thought. You know, he's not reeling in a dungeon. Well, understand this. He says, brothers and sisters, see, what happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Here is a guy that was able to look at a circumstance, and every bit of a circumstance points to unhappiness. But instead, he was able to be joyful. First, because God gave him that joy. So if you're not a born-again believer, I'm going to say this every single time, you cannot have the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, the second part of it, love and then joy. You cannot have it unless you know Jesus Christ. And if you know Jesus Christ, you have it. You have the capacity to walk by the Spirit with joy. You can have that. And when you have joy, you can say what the Apostle Paul said here, that he was, in spite of those circumstances, joyful. One of the words there that you want to know, and that's the word advance the gospel. He was joyful because what happened to him promoted and advanced the gospel. And that word advance in the Greek word is protope. And that word means not just advancing, not just taking a step at a time. It meant that there was resistance. There was great resistance to it. But nevertheless, it was able to advance. The gospel message was able to advance. I remember a long time ago, the church that we were associated with, we were really big time missions oriented, particularly in the area of in the country called Vietnam. And some of you are from Vietnam. Lots and lots of churches that the missionaries I knew, a lot of pastors would go there. After the fall of Vietnam, one of the first things that happened, you know, communists do that, they come and they begin to persecute the intellectuals, the business people, and for some reason, always the Christians. So these churches were closed, you know. They were persecuted. The pastors were rounded up and brought. Many of them were killed. This is after the fall of then Saigon. But you know, after a little while, the communists begin to realize, this is not working. The more we persecuted these Christian leaders, and particularly pastors, it seems like the church seems to grow more and more. And then they went about the business of killing some of the pastors, thinking that that is going to stop it, and it didn't stop it at all. It just multiplied the Christians even more. They got to a place where these communist leaders realized it doesn't work that way with Christians. The more we hurt them, the more they grow, so they stopped killing pastors. And what they did instead would be warn the pastors. They would take the pastors in and warn them and threaten them and let them go back home, thinking that that is the best route. Because it wasn't working. The gospel message will keep on advancing in the midst of all these difficult situations. And if you follow what happened in the last century in the communist world, you will find that that's exactly what happened all the time, i.e. China. You remember China when the communists came over. There were 5 million Christians. And all the missionaries had to be you know, they had to go home. They were thrown out of China. And the latest count is something like 130 million Christians under communism, under places where Christian leaders were constantly being harassed, hurt, imprisoned, and many killed. That's what happens. That's exactly what happened to the Apostle Paul. Now, if you don't think it was difficult, understand this as well. The Apostle Paul was under house arrest, but it isn't just that. You say, well, you know, I got my little apartment, the guards are outside, I can't get out. It wasn't like that. If you went to the book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 20, you will read that he said, I am in chains. And it's interesting, you know, that's one of the things about the English language sometimes I think is not as good as some of the other languages, like Chinese. You know, Chinese couple of characters, they can describe all kinds of stuff, you know. Greek is like that too. We see chains and we just think of chains. No. His chains was the word halisi. The word halisi in Greek is a little tiny chain. It's only maybe a couple feet long. So Paul was like in a handcuff, right, chained up to a soldier next to him that may be only 2 feet long, 24/7 for 2 years. In fact, we are told, if you study it, this is what they used to do. They would chain a prisoner to a soldier, and that soldier would be rotated every 6 hours. So every 6 hours, in another word, in a day, there would be four soldiers that would be chained to Paul. And he is never private. He can never do anything, whether it's sleep, anything else whatsoever. There's always a soldier next to him. And I want to tell you, that is a pretty difficult thing. You know, one day is bad enough. A week is impossible. 2 years, this happened to the Apostle Paul. And so you want to have joy? Wow, you're not going to have a lot of happiness there. Yeah, someone's always next to you. By the way, a God, a mean God, you know, a God that if you do anything, he can, you know, hurt you. And who knows who he is? And they can assign anybody to him anytime. It isn't like the nicest people in the world, you know. These are Roman soldiers. But in spite of all that, Paul was able to say that this has been a good thing. What happened to me actually served to advance with resistance the gospel. I want to tell you something about the gospel. It always advances better with resistance. And since today, I know in our society, in America, in perhaps the western part of the hemisphere of this world, you know, there's a war against Christians to a point, right? If you're a Christian, there's something wrong with you. If you're a Christian, you're called racist. You're called all kinds of things. You're called a bigot. You're called whatever because you're a Christian. You have that title, you know, you better not say it too loud. You probably won't get that job. If you talk about your Christianity, you'll better get fired. This is happening all the time. And it's not unusual. This is what happens with the gospel. Because the world is not going to be pro-Christians. The world is not going to make Christianity easy. The gospel message is not going to go forth easy. It is going to go forth and advance with resistance, just as the word tells us here. And the Apostle Paul realized that. And he saw that in his circumstance. Second thing we find here is interesting. He was joyful because of the gospel ministry. This is important. He wasn't joyful because of a circumstance that was so great for him. He wasn't joyful because, oh, they let me out. I had a little vacation, you know. They released me from the chains for a couple of days. No. He was joyful because of the gospel ministry. And this is what he says. You need to understand this a little bit. I think sometimes when we read it, we don't even know what we're saying. We're rereading. It says, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard or the Praetorian guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. You say, what does that mean? Understand this a little bit. The Roman Empire, 1,000 years in existence, eventually became a Christian empire. Now, there might be good and bad and all that, obviously, you understand that. Emperor Constantine declared Christianity to be the official religion of the Roman Empire a little later. Now, how did that happen? How did that happen? Because this is a pagan empire. The Romans are the worst of the worst. They're worse than the Assyrians. They're worse than the Babylonians. They did horrendous things. They worshiped people as gods. They had their own gods. They had the Greek gods. They had every kind of gods. Why would it turn into a Christian empire? because the gospel message penetrated into the Roman people, including the Roman hierarchy. Now, how did that happen? Well, one of the reasons it happened is because of the Apostle Paul. This is what's happening. When it describes the palace guards, right? The palace guards were guarding Paul. You say, well, that means Paul must be in the palace. No, not at all. We know he was in a rented house that he had to pay for himself. So how did these palace guards come to be with Paul? Well, they were assigned to take care of him. If you don't know who they are, these palace guards are the equivalent to some of these special forces of today. In fact, the Praetorian Guards came to be, it started under Caesar Augustus. And Caesar Augustus is when Jesus was born, right, during that time. During that time, Rome, under Caesar Augustus, had about 10,000 of these guards. These were the upper echelon of politics and military. They were guards, yes, but as long as they stayed there, they didn't have to go out there and conquer the world at all. They were just the elite guards that guarded Rome. They guarded the emperor. They guarded everything. And then when they would go through the process, as they get older and older, they become higher up on the political specter. And you remember Rome. Rome is not one of these nobility thing. People didn't become a king, and then their sons become that. They try to be. It's not like that. They had the Senate. You know, all these stories, Romeo and Juliet. Not Romeo and Juliet. Anthony and Cleopatra. You remember those sort of stories, right? Where they just, like, do all kinds of intrigue things to get into power. And so these Praetorian guards will get to a place where they will put themselves in power. And so it was a powerful group, and by the time Nero came to power, it was said that there was about 16,000 of them. And they could go in and out the palace. They would have access to all these important officials, including the emperor. Just imagine this, right? Here are these Praetorian guards, they're guarding Paul. They're sitting there for 6 hours at a time, and they're watching this man, a man that should be crying, complaining, and all, but yet full of joy, full of passion for the gospel message. They're hearing him share the gospel with everybody else, and I guarantee you, you're sitting with Paul, you're going to hear the gospel 6 hours at a time. Can you imagine some of those times when they're sitting down, they're getting ready for bed, and the guard is saying, Paul, you know, I'm really having a tough time with my wife. You know, suddenly a counseling session. The Apostle Paul was doing this for 2 years. Four people every single day. And these guys will go back. And I'm telling you, he won them to Jesus Christ. It says here clearly, it says that throughout the whole Praetorian Guard, the whole palace guard, that he's in chains, not for a crime he did, but for the gospel. Man, he was winning them to Jesus Christ. The city of Rome, being in there in a prison cell, in a sense, in there for 2 years, Paul, more than anything else, even though he was a great preacher, even though he traveled everywhere, he could have been standing in the auditory situations, you know. Nevertheless, he's just in this place, one at a time, he's witnessing to these Praetorian guards and transforming the whole society of Rome. Think about that. And Paul could understand it. He said, because of what happened to me, because of this jail time, because anytime they can cut my head off, anytime they can hurt me and do anything to me, because of this short chain that I'm tied in with this guy next to me for 2 years, everybody in the whole palace has heard about the gospel. Have you thought about that for your circumstance ever? Have you thought about, you know what, my life is so miserable, my physical condition is so bad, or I'm so poor, or you know my family's not good, on and on and on. You can think about that. Have you thought that those conditions are the conditions that God has allowed so that you can make a huge difference in ways that you can't possibly imagine? I'm sure the Apostle Paul didn't think that. He didn't think, I'm going to go be arrested, I'm going to be in prison so I can witness to the Praetorian guards. He had no idea. But nevertheless, that's what happened. And you follow the history of Christianity, you will find that that made a huge difference. It just kept going on and on and on. And later on, the church in Rome, I mean, the great letter that he wrote, a letter that we use, the gospel, the epistle of Romans, I mean, it's phenomenal. Christians came out of that. And then he said one more thing. He's joyful because of the impact on the church. I want you to understand something. We encourage one another. The things that happen to us, all right, they encourage one another. You make a difference to the brothers and sisters that are sitting with you now, that are across the world. The Apostle Paul said, you know what? Not only did the palace guard and everyone else in Rome, they know he's in chains for Christ. But the brothers and sisters, he said, they have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. You know how scary it is to share the gospel during the days of Rome? I mean, you're sharing the gospel to people that think that you're idiots. Not only that, that you're breaking the law. And you do remember that in Rome is where they had the Colosseum, in a place where they sent out lions. And once in a while, let's have a good time. Let's bring out the Christians. You remember that? It's a scary thing to share the gospel. The Apostle Paul, being in prison, in chains for 2 years in Rome, emboldened and empowered and encouraged Christians to stand on their faith, upon their faith, and trust in God. And not only that, to proclaim the gospel without fear. Let me tell you, today, in the church, that's what churches want to do, not do. You know, why don't we just have a great concert up here? You know, have the best musicians, hire them if you need to. Have a really moving one. And, you know, every time, once in a while, we have these concerts, and even in Houston, and all these people go, and they move, they're crying, they're having a great time, you know? And why don't we just do everything to make everybody feel so good? And then, Pastor, by the way, when you go up there, don't say this, don't say this, don't say this. Don't tell them abortion is sin. Don't tell them transgender and homosexuality is against the word of God. Don't tell them that they need counseling. Don't tell them that they've... Just all these things, don't say, Pastor. Why do you have to do that for? Why do you have to make people feel bad? Just let them be happy. That's not what they did there. Oh, no. They spoke the word of God. They spoke the gospel message. They told people the word of God. They were empowered and emboldened and confident and dared more to proclaim the gospel without fear. And you and I are called upon to proclaim the gospel, truth of the word of God, what the life of God empowers us to be and to do. So somebody like a Paul, let me tell you, that encourages me. And so once in a while, you know, we have people like the pastor in Iran that was there. Like people that are killed, missionaries that are, you know, taken, captives. Those people embolden us. They encourage us to say there are people still willing to stand for the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And we can be joyful in it. You may not be happy today, although I'm getting happier. That has nothing to do with joy. Joy comes from God. And God says, I am going to give you this joy. And then by the power of the Spirit of God, I am going to empower you to experience this life of joy. And no matter what the circumstance of your life, you need to know, that you can be joyful because of the gospel message, because of the truth I have given to you, because of the life that I'm giving to you, because of the things that you can do in my name. That's where joy comes from. That's where joy stays. And no matter what the circumstance of your life, you want to look at it totally half full, filled with the Spirit of the living God in your life. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you have given to us that joy that nobody can take away. And Lord God, thank you so much for the Apostle Paul, the life that he lived. Would you allow us, Lord, and help us to model that life, to model after a man who modeled after you. Oh, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that in this room, that each and every person here can have that joy that comes only from you. Oh, Lord God, if there's one that doesn't even have that, I pray today would be the day that it changes. Thank you, Jesus.